So the thought that that I have this evening for us is the importance of pastoral leadership to the church. And we're going to, obviously, we're going to look at some aspects of that. But, you know, it's very important. The pastor is a very important part of the church. You know, he's a very, very important part. But we see here in this text, a problem arose against the children of Israel. Moses made a decision based upon faith in God and led the army of Israel to victory over the Amalekites. We learn that his leadership and labors were very important to the success of God's people. But just as important, we see that he had those that supported him and helped him in his labors. And so we want to look at some of these thoughts tonight. First of all, number one, we see the importance of pastoral leadership. We see the importance. There's a need for that pastoral direction, that leadership in a church. And we see in verses 8 and 9 here in our text, it says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out, men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So he gave some leadership. Okay, here's a problem. Here's a difficulty. Here's something that is coming against us. Here's something that we need to face. And this is what we need to do. You know, we need some people that are on the ground. We need some people that are, you know, that are physically in the battle. And then we need some people that, you know, that are going to go up, and I'm going to go up and pray, and I'm going to go up and hold the rod of God in my hand, and I'm going to need some that are going to go with me and to help and to support, and so there's going to be a physical laboring, and there's going to be a spiritual warfare, and all these things are going to be going on. And so Moses directed in what needs to take place. How are we going to face this? Don't we need that? We need a lot of times in our lives. We need that leadership in our lives. You know, we've got things that are coming into our lives and difficulties and problems. You know, and we need to have that spiritual direction in our lives. We need to have the Word of God preached to us and taught to us and giving us that direction and leadership in our lives. And you know, the pastor serves a very integral part in that leadership and that direction in our lives. But we see that Moses exercised leadership based upon that faith in God. He trusted in God's power to deliver them. Once again, I mean, he knew that God had delivered them time and time again. He knew that God had given them this rod, and he knew that that God had given that means, and obviously that rod is, you know, representative of that authority, of that power, that you know, that God will be with them, and you know, God had told them many times, and had delivered them many times. And so once again, he was looking to the Lord. He was looking to those past experiences. And he said, "I'm going to go, and I'm going to stand on the top of the hill, and I'm going to with the rod of God in my hand." And so he was trusting in the power of God. He was trusting in the deliverance of God. And he was leading the church, he was leading the Israel, the army there, to trust in and look to the power of God and the deliverances of God. I mean, and we need that encouragement. We need that leadership. But the importance of spiritual leadership in a church is cannot be stressed enough. Two things move a church forward to serve the Lord. Love, obviously. Over and over again, we see that, don't we? What is our motivation to serve the Lord? Well, it's love. We love Him. And we want to serve Him in love. I mean, that is our motivation. We can read in Revelation. We read about how that the Lord addressed the church at Ephesus, and they had all their ducks in a row, so to speak, didn't they? They had their doctrines, and they had all these things in a row. But it was their lack of love. It was the lack of love. It was the lack of the reason why they were doing the things that was missing. And so that love has to be there. That motivation. That you love the Lord and you want to serve Him out of love, and that is what motivates. So we have the motivation, but we need the leadership. You know, we need the direction for the love. And so those two things are needed: the love of our Lord and in His church, and in that leadership, that direction. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? How are we going to serve the Lord? So we need those things. But without love, there is no motivation to serve God, and without leadership, there is no direction. For the motivation. So we see that. And then we see that in verse 10, the people followed that leadership. In verse 10 there again, it says, "So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill." So the people followed that leadership. You know, they followed that direction. And so long as, you know, as a pastor is directing in the things of God, the church needs to trust that God is leading. The church needs to trust that God is the one behind the man. The man just simply is following the leadership of God and leading the church in that direction. And so we see that the people follow. And so the people must be willing to follow the pastor, or he cannot lead. You know, it's a lot. It's very similar to the husband-wife relationship. The Bible says that the wife is to submit to her husband's leadership. But you know what? That only works if the wife's willing to submit to the husband's leadership. You know, and that's a two-way street. If that's going to work the way it's supposed to, if there's going to be harmony in the way that works, then there has to be a submissive spirit to the leadership of God, you know, placed in our lives. But we see that the people followed that spiritual direction. And so long as the Word of God is taught and the things of the Word of God are being directed in, then the church ought to follow the pastor. The second thing we want to note then is that the importance of pastoral labors. Not only is that leadership important, that here's what we're facing, this is what we need to do. This is how we need to go about facing this. Not only is that leadership important, but also is his labors, the pastoral labors. Verses 11 through the beginning of verse 12 there says, "And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy." And so we see that there's very important, that Moses's, that his labors were important. He was engaging in the spiritual part of the battle. You know, the physical part of the battle was going on as the army, and Joshua led the army to face Amalek. And that physical part of that battle was going on and raging. But it did well as Moses held up his hands, and it didn't do so well as Moses let down his hands. And so we see the importance of the spiritual warfare, the things that the pastor does in prayer and in approaching unto God in prayer and in upholding the church in prayer and the spiritual battle that he faces in the lives of God's people. You know, these things are so very, very important. That we encourage the pastor in. But these labors are important. A pastor's labors are equally important for the good of a church. When a pastor is fulfilling or upholding his spiritual obligations as pastor, it is good for the church. But when a pastor lets down his hand, it's not good. Again, as we see there, as his hands were up. "And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." And so we see then this parallel with, upholding those spiritual labors, upholding those things is very important. Engaging in the spiritual battles, working behind the scenes a lot of times in prayer and in preparing the messages of God's Word. And those things are so very important and vital for the health and the blessing and the good of the church. So those are very, very important labors that he engages in. A pastor must be doing his work faithfully, or a church will suffer loss. And so, when those hands are let down, there will be loss, just as we see that Amalek prevailed when his hands were let down. Verse 12, there it says, "But Moses' hands were heavy." That is something that is very important to understand. That the pastor's labors are heavy. They weigh on him after time. If you held out your arms and you just held them, you do that all the time. They're not heavy at all, are they? Not heavy. But take that, just take the normal weight of your hands and just keep holding it there. And eventually it gets heavy. And that's how it is. That's how it is with the pastor's labors. They are the joy of his life. They are a labor of love. And yet, it is through his own weaknesses that his labors become heavy, and as Satan discourages, and as seemingly the battle just keeps raging on and on and on and on and on, those labors become heavy. The arms become heavy. It becomes heavy over time. What first may have seemed to be not as heavy, it weighs, and those labors become heavy. And so Moses, like every pastor, started out rested and ready. But as time went on, his hands grew heavy from bearing the weight of his labors. Have you ever noticed, many times that a lot of times, a pastor will last 5-10 years, and then it's like he burns out. It's the labors, the weight of all of his responsibilities, the weight of the spiritual labors he's engaging in. Those spiritual labors are very, very heavy. The prayers and the thoughts and the burdens that he bears for all of the people that he's ministering to, all the individuals and all the lives that he's considering, that he is giving his life to, that he's pouring himself into. A pastor pours his life out into the congregation. He pours it out into them. And over time, he begins to become weary and worn, and his hands become heavy. How we need to recognize that. We need to be supportive of our pastors and lifting up their arms and strengthening their arms. But a pastor's labors, they become heavy over time. This is why pastors lose their health. This is why pastors lose their minds. This is why pastors sometimes give up and resign. You've heard it. I remember hearing, at times at this conference, I've heard some of the preachers get up here, and I remember hearing, talking about on Monday morning, they're ready to put in their resignation. They're worn out. It is a taxing labor. It's a labor of love. I can't express that enough. But when you're pouring your heart and soul into something, it sometimes can become a very heavy burden to bear. And so understand. And the only thing I can do is communicate to you that it becomes heavy. Until a person is a pastor, you can't quite understand what that's like. I mean, we go through different struggles, don't we? And except that you go through somebody else's struggles, you don't really know what it's like to be there, do you? You don't really know what it's like to go through, some very difficult time, except that you've been there and you can relate. So the best I can do is express to you that it gets heavy. His hands will get heavy in his labors. And, we all know, love Brother Dan, and we know that Brother Dan, preaches in many different places, and many look up to Brother Dan. He's a very strong man, but as strong as Brother Dan is, his labors are heavy, and his arms get heavy, and he needs the support of his church. He needs that encouragement. He needs the love. He needs people holding up his arms. So I want to encourage you in that today. Realize that as strong as Brother Dan is, his labors are heavy, and his arms will get tired. A pastor's to-do list. I wrote down all these scriptures. There's a bunch of scriptures I have here to give the idea of just to go through the scriptures. It would take us some time, but I'm not going to do that. But I am going to list the scriptures, and I'm going to just kind of lay out the things that some of the spiritual labors of a pastor. First of all, he seeks the spiritual growth and improvement of the church. We see that in Ephesians 4. I mean, that is the main part of his labor. We read about in Ephesians 4 that the Lord gave, He gave those apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers, and pastors for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That is the main part of his labor. He is to, seek the spiritual growth and improvement of the church. That's what he is looking for. That's what he's praying about. That's what he's desiring to do, is to seek the spiritual improvement of the church. To feed and to tend the sheep. We read about that in John 21. If he loves the Lord, we know the Lord addressed Peter, and he said, "Do you love me? Well, feed my sheep." And he addressed him that way three times. To feed them and to tend them, to take care of them, to minister to their needs, to oversee the church. In Acts chapter 20, talks about to superintend the church. If you will, or to be the bishop, and basically means to superintend in 1 Timothy 3. To be an example to the church in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. To be a full-time student of God's Word. The pastor never quits studying. He never quits learning. He never quits growing himself. And so he's a full-time student. He's pastoring. He has all the duties to his family, to fulfill his family obligations. We see that in 1 Timothy 3. To lead the church. In Hebrews 13 and verse 7. To watch over the church in Hebrews 13, 17. To pray for the church in Philippians 1, verses 3 and 4 and 8 and 9. And these are just some of the things. if things are going well. These are just some of the things if there's no problems and no difficulties to deal with. But obviously we know that that we have problems in our lives, don't we? And where do we go? We go to our pastor. We tell our pastor our problems. And, you know, maybe we have, some things going on in our lives that are just causing strife and difficulty. And who knows, you know. But on top of all of these things, the positive things, he also has to deal with our problems. And he has to deal with our difficulties. And he has to deal with the little struggles and the strifes and the things that happened in churches. And he has to, all these things are always constantly on his mind and in his prayers and on his heart. And he's dealing with these burdens. The pastor with a problem church has all these different duties plus dealing with everyone's problems. And so, we need to realize that there are very, very important and very, at sometimes can be heavy, heavy labors that the pastor engages in. You know, think about it. I mean, we all have, think about your life, think about your family, and don't we all have enough problems just with us, right? Just with our own family. Now imagine the pastor. He has his own life, and he has his own difficulties, and he has his struggles, and then you add the struggles and the difficulties and the problems of all the people, and you add that to all of his burdens and all of his personal difficulties. That's heavy. That weighs. I mean, we have a hard time dealing with our own problems, don't we? I mean, as individuals, you know. Don't we? I mean, don't sometimes we just want to fall apart? I mean, things are just falling apart. Well, now I'll lay all that on the pastor and all from all different directions. That's heavy burden to bear. Heavy burden to bear. He has to, he has to not only deal with his own issues and his own weaknesses, but then also to minister to all the needs of the church. So those things are heavy, and we need to realize the weight of those things. And so that brings us to the third, and I guess probably the most important point, is the importance of pastoral support. Importance. A pastor needs those Aarons and those hers. He needs those that are willing to go up with him. To go up with him and engage in the spiritual battle. To go up to the hill and to hold up his arms. And to help him and encourage him and support him. You can't hold the rod of God for it. You know, you weren't called to be the pastor, but you know what? You can hold his arms up. You can encourage him and you can support him. You can make him comfortable, you know, if it's a rock to sit on, you know. Do what you can to love and to support and to encourage your pastor. How important it is to help him in that way. But verses 12 and 13 again there says, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun." And Joshua just confronted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. What would Moses have done? Yes, here he is. This is Moses. Here's the great man of God. And he goes up to the mountain. What if he'd had to go alone? You know? What if he'd had to go alone? His arms would have been heavy. And they would have been let down. And he would have been, you know, a much more difficult a time trying to engage in the labors that he had to do. But he didn't have to go alone. He had support. He had those that were willing to give him a place to rest. They had those that were willing to help him bear his burdens and lift up his arms. Oh, how pastors need those Aarons and those Hurs. Those that are willing to lift up his arms. Those that are willing to encourage him and to support him. And to stand behind him and to just give him the things that he needs. But very important, the importance of supporting the pastor. Because pastor's work is important, and because it gets heavy at times, he will have a tendency to let his hands down. I mean, that's just the flesh. He will want to give up. He will want to quit. He will be vulnerable to the attacks of Satan. You know, let's look in 1 Peter just for a minute. 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, we often think about 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're probably very familiar with that scripture, that the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But you realize the context of who he's trying to devour? Do you know that it's pastors that he wants to devour, his pastors he wants to destroy, because if he can destroy the pastor, he can greatly affect the church. And so how we need to be encouraging, and how we need to be realizing that, you know, that if pastors, get weak and they get to a place of vulnerability, that, you know, that's just what Satan's looking for. But 1 Peter 5, there in verses 1 through 3, we read, it says, "The elders which are among you, I exhort." So he's addressing the pastors, "who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock." And then, you know, then go down and consider verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant." Who's he addressing? Well, he's addressing these pastors. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You know, not only are we to be, is the pastor to be vigilant over the church and realize that the devil is walking around as a roaring lion trying to destroy the lives of church members, but as church members, you need to realize that the devil would love to destroy your pastor. He would love to get him to the place where he just gives up. He quits. He can't do it anymore. He says, my hands are too heavy. I can't do this anymore. I can't bear the weight of this anymore. I just can't do it anymore. And he's done. You know, oh, how we need to encourage and support the pastor that the Lord has given. But he needs that. He needs those people helping to hold up his hands before God. The pastor's work, again, is important. But just as important are those people holding up his hands, causing him to be steady in his labors. You know, that's one of the things that is so important to understand about the Lord's church. It's a body. It's a body. And all the members have a part, and all the members have a function. And they're all to be working together in unity and working together in unison. And the pastor has a part, but every member has a part. And each part needs to be working together. Just like when we see here with Moses and with Aaron and Hur and with Joshua and the army. You see, they all had a part. They were all working together. They were all working in unison. And you see that. That's how a body is supposed to work. That's, you know, really that is the main illustration of the body, is unity. It's all about being unified. It's all about being together. It's all about serving the Lord together as one body of Christ. That's what the main gist of those passages is, to teach the church to be unified. Not to have divisions, not to have difficulties, not to have strifes, but to be a unified body of Christ. That all the members having the same care for one another. All the members working together. And so we need to realize that. Listen, all of the labors and the duties of the church aren't just the pastors. But it is that of the body. And all the body engages in those labors together, and they all do their part. Wherever it is that God has placed you, whatever part that He has given you in the church, then you as a member are to fulfill that role. You are to do your best in the capacity, in the role, in whatever it is that God has given you to do. And in that way, you can be a great blessing to your pastor, to just fulfill that place and be faithful in the body. Be faithful as where He has set you, and whatever gifts and whatever capacity He's given you to serve in the church, do that, and do that to the best of your ability. Oh, that'll go a long ways to helping to encourage your pastor to see, because that's what he desires. He desires your blessing. He desires your good. He desires to see you blessed in serving the Lord to your full capacity. That's the greatest desire of his heart. That's one of the greatest encouragements you can do for your pastor, is just be faithful to serve the Lord to the fullest capacity that God has given you. That is just a tremendous blessing to a pastor. That's what he lives for. That's what he dreams about. That's what he desires most of all in his heart. That the people of God would serve the Lord with all their heart. That the church would just be flourishing and blossoming and blooming in spiritual things. And he desires that. He lives for it. He dreams about it. He prays about it. He preaches about it. I mean, those are his labors. He's desiring the good and the blessing of the church. And so, understanding that the church is the body, you know, and that body is all to be working together in unison in the things of God, goes a great long ways to encouraging the pastor. But let's look in 1 Corinthians 12 for a minute. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. I really like this. This is who Aaron and Hur were. They were this, as we read about in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. You know, we think about, when you think about this, you think about, okay, here's these apostles and here's these prophets and teachers, and we're seeing all these that have this place in the church. And it says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. I love that one there, though. Helps. A church needs helpers. It needs those like Aaron and her that were willing to help, willing to support, just to help in whatever capacity God has given you. I mean, that is part of, that's what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, to be a member of one of the Lord's churches. It isn't just to be, you know, to ride the bench, you know. It isn't just to sit in the pew. It isn't just to soak up all the blessings and never give. But we are to serve. It's a place of service. It's a place of serving the Lord and glorifying Christ. And that is our opportunity to serve the Lord in whatever capacity that we can be. But helpers, oh, what a blessing. What a blessing helpers are to pastors. What a blessing are those that are just always there to encourage, always there to uplift, always there to, rather than grabbing a hold of the arms and saying, here are my burdens, you know, grabbing on the arms and hanging off the arm. They're saying, you know, they're encouraging, they're lifting up, they're holding up the arms. And they're help holding up some of that weight of all those spiritual burdens. Oh, that's a blessing. A blessing with a church with helpers. So if churches were filled with helpers, pastors would be so encouraged. We need those that are encouragers. Those that are supporters. Those that are lovers of their pastor. Those that are there for their pastor and will stand behind. And just like Aaron and her, set down that rock. You know, and here's a place to sit. Here's a place to rest, you know. And here's some support. How we need those things. But if the church wants to be blessed of God, they must uphold their pastor before God. One of the ways that we uphold his arms is we pray for him. We pray for him. We love him, and we spend time in prayer. You know, I as a pastor, you just, you know, the Bible talks about Elijah. He was a man of like passion. We think, oh, wow, look at Elijah, you know. Well, the Bible makes it clear that he was a man of like passions. He's just a man. God's chosen to use him for a certain thing. That's what it is, a passion. Just a man. Just a man. And he has the weaknesses. But we need to pray for a pastor. And I know my own weaknesses. I know my own inadequacies. I get up before the congregation, you know, at Cadillac, and I think, oh, Lord, I need your help. Every time I get up there, I need your help. And I know when people have been praying. I know when they've been praying. I know that when I'm in the middle of preaching, I know when people are praying while I'm preaching. Because it helps. I know because the Spirit of God gives me what I need, and He strengthens me, and He encourages me, and He begins to speak through me, in spite of me. Not because of me. You know that? It isn't because of any man, but it's in spite of us. It's in spite of us that God ever does anything. And oh, how we need to pray then, that God would speak, that God would move, that God would bless, and that God would use the pastor. And that is what He's given him to the church for, to be that part, to be that main instructor, to give that leadership, to feed the church, to give the church the thing they need. So pray that God would help. Pray that God would encourage. Pray that God would speak through the man that He has given to the church. But again, if a church wants to be blessed of God, they must uphold their pastor before God. Encourage, uphold him. People praying, people encouraging, people helping, people supporting their pastor in every way possible will make him a steady pastor. Talks about there that his hands were steady. You know, they were supporting him and his hands were steady. That's going to make him steady. As you support and as you encourage, as you lift him up in prayer. Oh, I can't stress the importance of praying for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. Plead before God that he would encourage and lift up and uphold your pastor. That he would give you the very words that you stand in need of. Pray for him. He'll be steady. And his hands will be steady. And he'll be steady in those labors that he's been given. And he'll be a faithful pastor. You know, it talks about until the going down of the sun. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. If you want your pastor to be steady, to be faithful until the going down of the sun, if you want your pastor to be to continue on in the labors God has given him, then support him, encourage him, pray for him, help uphold his arms, help uphold the labors that he engages in, and so he'll be a faithful pastor until the going down of the sun. But let's go back there in verse. 13 there again. Exodus 17, verse 13, it says, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. So we see then that through the labors of Moses, that spiritual leadership, and through the support of Aaron and Hur, those there helping, and through the labors of Joshua on the ground, the battle was won. That they all were working together as a unit, weren't they? They were all working together in a unified effort, every person fulfilling their part. And as that happened, and as they, and as those were up there encouraging Moses, they were blessed. You know, they had the victory. You know, and that's what it takes to have the victory. We all need to be unified. We need to be a unified body of Christ, and every person fulfilling that the role that God has given them in the body. But and Joshua discomfited Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. So they had that victory. The church that supports their pastor will be blessed of God. I mean, and that's the way it is. I know Mark Sr., of course, he always tells me about mind when home church really began to be blessed was when they really started supporting and taking care of the financial needs of Brother Titus. He says he knows, he remembers that when that started to take place, the church really started to be blessed. And so that's something that we need to understand. You bless your pastor, God's going to bless the church. He's going to bless the church. You support your pastor. You love him. You encourage him. God gave him to this church. God gives every pastor to the church. And he picks him. And he's the one that gives him. And so support the man. Support the man that God has given you. Uphold his arms. Don't grab hold of the arms and be more weight. But do all you can. And I understand. If you got burdens, take them to your pastor. That's part of what he's here for. Don't hold your burdens in. Take them to your pastor. If you have things you need to take to your pastor, but also realize you got to support your pastor too. Don't just always load your burdens on him and never encourage him, never support him, never lift him up in prayer. He's there for the spiritual blessing of the church. But also he needs encouragement too. He's a person too. He's a man too. He has the same weaknesses and the same difficulties you have, and he needs to be encouraged and he needs to be lifted up just as much as you do. So remember those things. But a people in church that supports their pastor, they will be blessed of God. So we already mentioned in Ephesians there, but yeah, let's go ahead and read it there again a little bit in Ephesians. It's so important. These are just part of the blessings of being a part of the Lord's church. This one of the blessings of being that is that pastoral leadership, is that blessing of God leading, God directing, God working through the pastor, God blessing the church through the pastor that he has set over it and given, trusting in God's leadership in those things. But in Ephesians 4 and verses 11 through 16, it says, and he gave. See there? Who gave? God did it. He gave. He gives the pastor for a purpose. And he gives them to the church. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give them? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. I'm a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We all need to understand very well that the pastor, that of every church is something that God has given, that God specifically decided. We understand and we believe in the sovereign God, don't we? And so we know then that God gave individual pastors to meet the individual needs of the church. He gives pastors as he sees fit because he knows what every church needs. He knows the pastor they need. He knows the direction that of the teaching and the instruction they need. Every pastor is different. They all have different gifts. They all have different abilities. They all have different ways in which they preach and teach. But you know what? God knows what every church needs, and God is the one that is giving. God is the one that is directing, and God is the one that gives those to the church for that they're perfecting the saints, for that edifying, that building up, and that is his main duty. That is the love of his life. That is what he again, what he dreams about, what he prays about, what he looks for in the lives of God's people, and he's laboring and he's longing for and he's praying for the blessing of God's people. That's what his life is all about. From beginning to end, his life was about serving the Lord in his church. His life was about the people of God, about loving Christ and feeding the sheep, as Jesus told Peter there. That's what his life's all about. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. Support him. Encourage him. Because he desires your spiritual good. He desires your spiritual blessing. He desires to see you growing and flourishing and blooming and blossoming and being fruitful in the things of God. That's his desire. That's what he longs for. And he goes to the Word of God, seeking God's Word and seeking the things of God. That's what he lives for. And so the people of God, specifically the church of God, is the heart of the pastor's work. The result of having a good pastor is a spiritually strong church. The result of having a poor pastor is a spiritually weak church. Just, that's that lifting up the arms and letting it down. What kind of church do you want to be? What kind of pastor do you want to have? You know, we need to support and pray for the blessing of our pastor. God gives pastors and makes them what they are by His grace. Seek then that God would bless the church by blessing the pastor. Pray that God would make, that would make your pastor give him the things he needs. You know, that he would speak through your pastor. That he would bless and feed the people of God. But one final thought, considering the importance of a pastor to the blessing of a church. Hebrews 13. Let's look there just for a minute. Hebrews 13. And verse 24, Hebrews 13 to verse 24, it says, "Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy salute you." But, you know, we think of salute, we kind of think of a military idea. We think, okay, we've got to salute our superior, you know. We've got to respect our superior, you know. We've got to submit to our superior, and we salute. But there's a lot more to that salute there than just this idea of I have to submit, you know, or I have to do this or that. But the salute here is a little different. But it really expresses the idea of embracing. Embracing the pastor that God has given you. Salute in the Greek means to enfold in the arms. By implication, to salute, figuratively to welcome. The same word is translated embraced in Acts chapter 20 and in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go ahead and look at those scriptures as I'm thinking about them. But Acts chapter 20. And so we are to embrace the pastor that God has given us, and that will encourage him as we embrace him. But Acts 20 in verse 1. It says, "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia." Well, we know what is he talking about there. He gave them a hug. You know, he loved them and he embraced them. You know, when's the last time that you gave your pastor a hug? I don't know if your pastor is the kind of guy that, you know, is huggy, but, you know, when's the last time you gave your pastor a hug or a pat on the shoulder or shook his hand and looked in his eye and told him how much you appreciated him? You know, embrace your pastor. Love him. Show him that kind of love. Show him that kind of support. Show him you love him. He needs that. Hebrews 11. So you embrace his person. And then Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. Maybe I got that one wrong. Maybe it's 13:11. Oh, no, excuse me. It is Hebrews 11:13. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims. So this idea of saluting, this idea of embracing, has the idea of embracing in the arms, of giving a physical hug, and it also has the idea of embracing the doctrine, embracing the teaching, embracing the things that that he stands for. You know, they were embracing these promises, and so, in other words, they had received them, and they were looking forward to them, and they were, you know, they were in agreement with them, and they were embracing them as their own. That's how we need to treat our pastors. Embrace them. Realize that this is the man that God has given. And embrace him as such. This is the gift of God to the church for the blessing of the church and the spiritual growth and improvement of the church. Then embrace him as such. Love him with all that is in you. And encourage him and respect him and receive the things that he brings as the Word of God. You know, as it is as it is in truth, the Word of God. And so that's how we are to consider our pastors, embrace them. So again, that word salute then carries with it the idea of loving, of welcoming, of respecting, and of embracing your pastor. So love him and embrace, or love him by embracing his person. Listen to him by embracing his instruction. Follow him by embracing his leadership. Obey him by embracing his exhortation and rebuke. Embrace the man that God has given. God gives to every church's pastor to embrace him, is to embrace the gift and the blessing of God. And to reject him is to reject the gift and the blessing of God. And we could turn back to the Old Testament and see how that, you remember when Korah came before before Moses, and basically they wanted to take the place of Aaron and take the place of the priesthood, and you know that, and Moses talked to him and said, you're not rejecting Aaron and you're not rejecting me, but you're rejecting God. They were simply a representative of God. God had given them and given them that place of leadership, and that is how God gives pastors. He gives them to the church, to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, to feed and to direct in spiritual matters. And so embrace him as the man that God has given, and support him and love him, pray for him, lift up those arms. If you've been hanging on his arms and pulling down his arms and being a burden, pray and see, I understand we have burdens. But pray and try to be an encouragement rather than a burden. Try to lift up his arms and encourage and support. But I'm going to stop with that, and we'll ask Brother Larry to come and dismiss us.